Frank himself has got pretty impressive KDA as well. You're working it out? You're adding it up?
Yeah, he's got...
Five maths.
He's got 28 kills.
I'll take your word for it.
And two deaths coming into this series, but I don't have the stats for him from this series.
So he died twice.
This is 4-0-7.
Before coming into the games against Fnatic.
So, okay,
yeah.
32. Okay, right, before the first two games.
Dying twice is kind of unacceptable.
He's a feeder, that's for sure. Baron goes to SKT. They're kind of in a fun phase right now. 19-2-6. Informative replay coming up. Digest.
Yeah. Spirit trying to make a kick flash. And then Fnatic trying to run away, and we don't even want to see that replay.
Oh, they surrendered, ladies and gentlemen. Well, there you have it. The Intel Extreme Masters World Champions are going to be SK Telecom T1. A dominant, dominant 3-0 performance. A 22-minute surrender coming out of Fnatic, and a big smile across Faker's face because he's just got...
What's up, party people? This is Chris DeRose.
And this is Junseth.
And with us today is an unusual guest, somebody who I don't think he's even done something like this before. It took us a little while to find the kind of person we were looking for, and I think we brought it to you today. Welcome to the show, Casper. Casper, you just sit by for a second. Junseth and I are going to do a little bit of talking, and then we're going to bring you on in and get to know you a little bit better. So Casper is a young man. He's 19.
He's a video gamer, and he's been incredibly involved in, and frankly, what we would call a Bitcoin economy. I don't know that he would, but we have found this to be some of the most interesting stuff that we've ever looked at, I guess.
Yeah, you know, as Bitcoiners, I feel like we are actually kind of the older guys now.
It's weird.
Well, I'm talking here to Casper, and what's occurred to me is a lot of the things that we were discovering about money is actually coming to fruition in his community.
Right, and they're young. They're 19, 18, 17, 16, right? So Casper actually is a coach for one of these teams that, you know, plays video games, which, you know, your mom and dad probably wouldn't have been very happy about.
Well, he's a high school coach.
Right.
And he's spent the last 2 years, I believe, in South Korea.
Yeah, banging bitches.
Okay, so before we get started, I want to take a quick break. This is actually a sponsored episode from none other than Nitrogen Sports.
Which makes a lot of sense because it's a sports gambling platform.
Yeah, I think they're actually going to focus on this market. So let's hear from Nitrogen Sports, and then we'll get right into the interview here with Casper.
Perfect.
Online betting doesn't have to be complicated. Why give away personal information and deal with cash out fees when you can use a site like Nitrogen Sports? We allow our bettors to use Bitcoin in the original spirit of the currency, all completely anonymous with unlimited free transactions. We want our users to be able to win bets on esports like CSGO and Dota without having to worry about lengthy cash outs. Bettors shouldn't have to put up with deposit fees and other restrictions. At Nitrogen, your winnings are yours and yours alone, and we aim to keep it that way. We are the future of betting. Try us today to find out why. Visit nitrogensports.eu.
All right, well, Casper, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And let's get started. So, yeah, tell us, what did we get wrong? Did we introduce you pretty well? Did we cover everything?
Yeah, pretty much. You covered everything.
Okay, and so, like, tell us a little bit, like, so you're a coach for high school teams.
Yes, I coach a League of Legends team that competes in the High School Star League.
And I think this is something pretty new for, like, anyone that, like, knows us, that we know, like, we're a little older, I guess. I mean, back in the day, we would have been young, but now we're really old. So tell us a little bit about this. Like, there are colleges doing recruiting, bringing people into the college on scholarship and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, so...
For video games.
Yeah, so big schools like Harvard, University of California, Irvine.
Are those
schools
good
like
schools?
Those. Yeah, they're pretty... I would say they're pretty good.
All right.
Yeah, they're... So it's getting pretty big.
Do you know what those are, Chris?
Harvard? I think you told me about Harvard before.
Yeah, so these big colleges are getting in. I think esports as a whole is blowing up. You know, places like ESPN are picking it up. TBS is broadcasting it on television, prime time. So, yeah, just stuff like this is going on in the scene.
Well, you're at age 19. You've lived in South Korea for 2 years.
Yeah.
And you're doing the kind of thing that I would like to do as an older man, which is to go to where the heart of the action is. How did you kind of get started in the esports thing? Like, what was your path to it?
I was just a gamer, really. And I just, you know, I wasn't too good individually as a player, but it really interested me that these things are being taken seriously and there was actually competition and money in these types of things. So I just got really curious about it, started, like, learning about League of Legends, and that's that, really.
And your parents are, like, real proud of you.
I don't really think they even kind of understand what it is to an extent, but yeah.
That doesn't surprise me. Old people suck.
You know, we've been talking to you a little bit before this, and it's amazing to me what a digital divide there is with the newest generation and the parents, and it's widening. And we as Bitcoiners explored a lot of these themes in currency, but I feel like for Casper here and a lot of his friends, digital currency is almost like a foregone conclusion, and they themselves are actually embarking upon a online sports and online economy of sorts. That to me is like really the manifestation of a lot of things we aspire to see.
Right. I mean, what's funny to me is like the descriptions I'm hearing of these people who play great games, who you know do these things, who are like famous. I mean, do they wear suits?
Oh yeah, they have like a team jersey. All of them do. Yeah.
Okay, team jerseys. So they're professional.
Yeah, they're professional.
Yeah. So okay. Let's talk about something that we really want to discuss with you. Tell us, what is the history of CSGO in the current state of things, going back to how it started? What do you know there?
So I believe it got big it started in about 2013. Originally, it had nothing to do with skins. All the guns were just blank, but...
Well, real quick, it's Counter-Strike GO, right?
So Counter-Strike Global Offensive is the name.
That's the game?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's owned by Valve, which owns Steam.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah. Right.
Okay, so Counter-Strike GO is the game, and in it you can have skins for your gun.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, and they drop them as if they're, like, rare cards or Beanie Babies.
Yeah, you have to, they either drop in-game or you can unbox a crate, which basically just gives you a random skin.
But they're in the news now because of the skins specifically. But how long was the game in effect before the skins became the center of the news?
I believe about, like, a year, and then after a year and a half, they started introducing skins, and people started spending a lot of money on opening crates after that.
All right, so you talk about crates. Is that like there's many skins in a crate or a single skin in a crate?
One skin per crate, and crates will either drop or you can buy a crate on the Steam market, and then you have to buy a key, which is about $2.50 to open it.
So the crates will randomly drop, or you can pay for a crate to drop?
Yeah, essentially, yeah.
Wait, so they buy keys to open the crates they find in-game?
Basically, yeah.
That's amazing.
Now, right off the bat, I mean, I guess that social signaling, do you know what that is?
Have anything to do with like social status stuff?
Yeah,
stuff like
people
that.
Wear jewelry, for example, to tell you if they have like money or something,
exactly,
or they have
yeah.
nice cars.
Yeah,
is that why people liked the skins at first, or did it immediately go to gambling mode?
No, yeah, definitely at first it was social signaling, I would say. Yeah,
I have a really strange question: can you buy just a crate from somebody?
Yeah, I believe so. It depends what kind of crate it is, because there's different crates, and basically you can buy like a certain type of I guess, trial thing or something like that, where it's called a mission or something like that, and you get a specific crate if you buy that mission pass.
I just want to... Crates are CSGO skin indexes.
Yes. Well, they are in the aggregate sense, right, but not any individual one, because the individual one would normalize the risk. So you'd have to buy, like, 1,000 of them or something, right?
Yeah.
So you could... That would be your point.
Right.
I agree. They strike me when I hear this from you, it strikes me as a lot of the allure of, like, baseball cards when you were a kid. Is you might get a high-value card, and there was a good player or something like that.
Yeah.
How did the market learn what skins were more valuable than the others at first?
I think at first it basically just was complete aesthetics. Like, whatever skin was either – well, it has something to do with there's a frequency at how they drop. There's colors that determine how rare a skin is. But not only that, but how they look. So, and then it basically got the value was determined by just like the Steam market. They were selling for a specific price at the Steam market, and you can actually see there's a graph when you try to buy skins off the Steam market of how valuable it's been, and it fluctuates back and forth.
That's remarkable to me. Incredible.
But they store value because their market has what enough. I mean, in our terms, the market has a lot of liquidity, and there's relatively low high depth to the market, meaning you can exit and enter a skin at any time. Are there a lot of orders going on constantly, or are there some skins that only sell like once you've listed them for a month or something?
I think it all really depends on how quickly they sell on the price that the lister puts it out for. But yeah,
I mean, how many people are buying these skins? What is the depth of this thing?
I wouldn't know exact numbers. It's easily in the 100,000s, I would assume. Could be in the millions.
And how has the price been reacting now that they're cracking down on this? The price is going way down?
I haven't checked recently, but they have definitely dropped.
Really? Because you can't sell them, or...?
Because of... they shut down all the gambling.
I see.
Yeah, so...
So the utility of the skins is gone.
Exactly, yeah. They don't hold as much
value. Also a store
value,
I think, too, because the expectation is that liquidity will be reduced.
Yeah. So, can you talk to us a little bit about how these skins are exported from the game?
So, basically, the skins never really leave Steam, essentially.
Okay.
But a lot of these betting sites are utilizing, like, dummy accounts or bots to, you know, get skins and hold them in a bunch of accounts. So, if you have a skin, it would be in your Steam inventory, essentially. And if you wanted to transfer it into real money, you would have to go through a site like OP Skins, which...
So you give the site the skin in escrow or what?
Yeah, exactly.
You meet with them in game in a dark alley?
You
away from Steam's prime
You would
eyes.
Send the account... Well, if you bet on a game, the escrow account would send you a trade request, and you would basically give it to them as a gift, and then... If, like, let's say you won the bet, they would send you the skin that you bet and then whatever you won back as a trade request.
Has anybody ever, like, started a fake company that holds skins and just takes them?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. That was a big thing in the beginning, and then their, you know, reputable company has developed.
Now, you said you made this come out of real money. Tell us about that. You deposit them into the bank of OP Skin, and then how do you get that out from, how do you get real money out from there?
So, basically, you have a wallet on OP Skins, I believe is how it works. I checked it out before I came here. And
Bitcoin language.
So you can sell the skins on there, and then it'll have the money in your wallet on the site, and then you can take it out from the site using Bitcoin or PayPal.
And do most people do PayPal, or do most people do Bitcoin? Do you know?
I would assume most people do Bitcoin, but probably some of the younger people use PayPal just because they're not into Bitcoin or whatever.
Is it so the young people would use PayPal?
Probably like teenagers that aren't too into Bitcoin.
Like the 16-year-olds?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What has happened here? These things have gone like full circle. This is so weird. So how much do you think Steam knows about what's going on? I mean, because it seems to me like they're 100% aware of everything.
Yeah, I believe they're 100% aware of everything.
And they're making lots of money off this, is my guess.
I think that they're making a lot of money off of their market trades, but not necessarily off the skin websites.
So the adults are using Bitcoin? Like the 19-year-olds?
Yeah, I believe a lot of them probably are.
Yeah, it's the 19-year-olds using Bitcoin.
Well, So I guess for me, like as I hear about this, I'm trying to figure out if Steam knows the regulatory arbitrage play that they've done. For me, I don't know how this is different than baseball cards, other than there's like less friction.
Well, they're digital, right? So that is the friction statement, but they're digital. And baseball cards you pull out of the bank, right? These are always owned by the bank. Steam could destroy the economy by just like taking everybody's skins.
Yeah, these are registered assets.
Right, which is the problem. They have utility too, and now they don't.
That's true. So, I mean, that would be the use of a blockchain here, by the way, is to create bearer assets in this capacity, which whether or not Steam wants to do that, I don't know.
I'm actually surprised that the entire economy even opened the crates, because I would think that what I would have assumed would have happened is the crates would have become themselves the trading thing.
Well, the thing with the crates is that you're not guaranteed a good skin. You could spend $2.50, and usually you're going to open a skin worth, you know, a dollar or less. So
that's why I would have thought that everyone would have kept the skins in the crates.
But I think that Steam can issue more crates at any time, so there's a price ceiling on that. You can never make more money than what the current price is, right? So where's the investment there?
Well, I mean, if you have people that did open the crates, then you would know what, like, sort of the aggregate economy is going to look like.
But the thing is that if Steam is selling a crate at $2.50, you'll never make more. You'll never make a single dime. There's no way you can make money.
That would mean that the crates would have to be valued at either $2.50 or less. Yeah, you're right.
So there's no reason to have a crate.
Go fuck yourself.
I mean, opening the crates is essentially like a lottery in itself. When you open a crate, it even has like a little ticker, and you know, it'll scroll across a bunch of skins.
You're wrong. No, the crates are not $2.50.
Opening the crate is $2.50.
The opening of the crate is $2.50.
The crate itself could be like $1.44 or something like that. They could even be like a couple cents, like 10 cents.
The crates are free. His point is that in the crate could be a 3-cent thing.
Do you buy crates or no?
I've bought them before, but only a few, and never got anything. How much are the guns that I got worth?
No, how much did you pay for the crates?
So any crates I ever opened in Counter-Strike were things that just dropped, so they were free. But let's say you were a YouTuber and you make money off views of yourself just opening a bunch of crates. You can buy crates. There are some that are really cheap. When they first come out and they're rare, they're expensive. So, you know, I never bought any, but you could definitely buy them for a couple cents to, you know, maybe a dollar.
But you can also buy crates from Steam?
Yes, they're traded on the Steam market.
And how much are the crates then on Steam? I'm trying to figure out what if there's a set rate.
They're traded on the Steam market as in like the crates people find in games. They can
Yeah. They're essentially
Steam
an
itself
inventory
does not sell
item.
Crates.
They only sell the opening of crates.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So then I didn't then you're right.
They do take money though off of every transaction on the Steam market. So let's say an item is sold for 10 cents. 7 cents of that will go to you, or maybe 8 cents, and then they'll get 2 or 3 cents. So they do make some money off of it.
Right, right. That's amazing. So with all that's going on right now, that market is kind of closed, and that has stopped.
Well, people are definitely still buying crates and opening crates, but as far as the betting goes, it's almost completely shut down right now.
And I'm guessing that just has like disastrous impact on the value of all of the goods.
Yes, but I will say that OP skins is still up and running. I checked today. You can still buy skins on there and sell them for essentially real money. You can convert them to real money.
Are a lot of these? Do you think a lot of these like betting sites are going to be moving from like the United States to like Thailand or something like that?
Well, I know that some of these sites, based on some of the information that's come out, were actually founded in like Antigua or something like that, where I guess gambling has less restriction.
They're gambling centered.
Yeah.
What do you think people think about Bitcoin in the community? What is your impression about that?
I think that generally a lot of young people think it's neutral. Of course, they've probably heard a ton of stories about Bitcoin.
So there's like no moral position, and they just think it's a thing that has value.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it's like a currency.
You know what's amazing to me? 9 years in now. Are we 9 years? 7 years in? 8 years in? Seven-ish, eight-ish years in here. These guys have grown up with more than half of their lives with Bitcoin in existence.
Oh my God, you're right.
Holy fuck.
So what do you think about the Fed?
I really don't have any idea or opinion on it. I haven't learned enough about it.
I have to confess, we already asked him about that. The reason why I asked, nobody told him to care about the Fed. You use Bitcoin because I surmise it solves problems. What do these kids do for PayPal accounts when they're 14?
What do they do with the PayPal accounts?
Well, is it easy for a 14-year-old to create a PayPal account, or is that they have to ask their parents to get involved? How does that work?
I believe you have to have a credit card, but I'm sure any parent would tell little Billy that he can go put his credit card on his account and, you know,
right.
you just trade or whatever.
Till little
trade
Billy
on PayPal.
Turn that into $1 million liability for his parents.
So then do you think that do you think that Bitcoin then is used for the kids only that can't get access to PayPal, or do you think that some people prefer Bitcoin?
I think that it just really is personal preference. Some people probably definitely prefer Bitcoin. Some people prefer PayPal. I think it just is how easy they can get a hold of whatever is on the account.
What do you think of the U.S. dollar?
I mean, again, I really don't know that much about the economy or anything like that.
What do you think about Ethereum?
Don't know anything about that either.
You know, I'm the things that we look for in Bitcoin are people who need it. And here, I feel like there's a community that found it because they need it. And it's very obvious to me, which is one of the best growth signals I can imagine for any cryptocurrency.
It's also what we've discussed with, like, pornography when porn takes Bitcoin. Like, the reason the porn costs more is because generally it's used by people that can't use their credit cards.
Right. And, again, we also say that Bitcoin abuts the dollar. I think these people are using Bitcoin because ultimately what they want is a dollar.
Or they want Bitcoin because they're going to go to jail.
So let's talk about that. What's the deal with these YouTubers that I've heard about that are apparently running gambling operations, albeit in undisclosed and weird ways? We talked about it on my show last week. Tarp Martin, I think, is one of them.
T. Martin and Syndicate, yeah.
You want to explain what the scandal is there?
So basically, one day on these guys' YouTube channels, they basically said, hey, we found this website that we really like, and we're definitely not in any way associated with it, and started, you know, exclusively gambling on this site. And not only were they
front running
gambling, but they are believed to have been rigging bets and making, you know, reactions, say, oh, I won so much money on this low percentage chance, when really they own the site,
just like Eric Voorhees.
So these guys weren't disclosing that they were promoting their site. How much money do you think they made here?
I think that they made millions and millions of dollars. I don't know the exact values.
And it's in, like, U.S. dollars, like, in their bank accounts? Or
I think so, yeah. Or, well, Bitcoin, but I think they definitely have some money in the bank, but definitely using Bitcoin as well.
You know, it seems to me like there's an indifference to what it is. Value is value here, is what I'm guessing. I mean, if I gave you the option of holding, like, I don't know, $1,000 in U.S. dollars or, like, $1,200 in Counter-Strike skins? Which one would you prefer?
Probably just the U.S. dollars, because I really don't know that much about how I'd go about selling all these skins and have to worry about, you know, getting my value out of them.
What if I gave you $1,000 in U.S. dollars or $1,200 in Bitcoin?
I would probably take the $1,200 in Bitcoin just because it's, you know, more money.
Bitcoin's money. don't tell the state of Florida that. It's the collectibles.
Beanie babies.
You know, it seems like there's a number of scams in the community that have started. And it's funny because we were talking earlier. And as I'm talking to you, I'm realizing that there's, like, no regulations in the esports space. So it seems like it's kind of a Wild West. And it actually seems like the Wild West we had here in Bitcoin in the years, like, 2011 and 12.
It's extremely familiar. In fact, like, a lot of, like, what I think is funny is I look at, like, the old Bitcoin stuff. And a lot of the people ended up in jail, right?
Yeah.
For doing things that we had no idea were illegal because we were, you know, fucking children.
Talk about another scam. What is this Mo scam I've heard about? Is it M0E? What's the deal with that?
Yeah, so basically Mo is a CSGO streamer. I believe he was a pro player or is a pro player. Not very amazing or anything like that, but he definitely has a stream presence on Twitch. He's a popular streamer. And basically he was betting on the site CSGO Diamonds. He was sponsored by the site. So I don't know exactly what happened there, but they agreed to amicably part and... they paid him, you know, a bonus for leaving and everything. And the deal they had arranged in their contract was that he wasn't supposed to take any of the the actual skin money out of his account because they were giving it to him as house money. It was like
I heard about this hilariously. I came out of the shower once, like a few weeks ago, and my YouTube was playing, and like I heard the story on YouTube. It was like it was a huge scandal.
Yeah. So basically, he had like I think it was like $24,000-$25,000 in skins. In his CSGO Diamonds account. So he writes on Twitter, at CSGO Diamonds, you have 24 hours before you are exposed or whatever, unless you give me my right. 25,000 in skins.
So he was just gonna out himself.
Yeah, so he basically, less actually, it's
mutually
funny.
Mutually assured destruction.
Yeah, for sure. Essentially, I think it was actually before 24 hours, which is funny. He rats them out saying that they... gave him roles, or basically like told him which like if he was gonna win a bet or not, basically just telling, like, rigging it essentially. And as the story unfolded, both sides released more logs, and eventually CSGO Diamonds released other logs. I think they said like this was the only person they had done this with. They had never done it with anything else. But in the end, he was paid like $90,000 in bitcoins to amicably part ways. He wasn't supposed to have these skins in the account, and it just came out that they were rigging bets essentially as right. a byproduct of the story.
So what's the fallout for him?
I know he was part of E-League, Turner or TBS's CSGO okay. television show that they're putting on. I don't think he's going to be allowed back there, and I think he got a lot of community backlash. I don't know that he got any like legal trouble or anything like that, but it was definitely a big scandal, and it definitely hurt his brand or whatever.
Does it look? I mean, he's going to go play more, and ain't no one going to give a fuck.
Yeah, essentially, yeah. So,
and doesn't he make his money by winning like tournaments and shit?
He makes his money by streaming, I believe, mainly.
Okay.
You know what I also like is I'm hearing this. Nobody goes by their fiat name. Everyone goes by their Bitcoin name. you know, you got to understand it from our point of view. Like, I don't know that we were, like, the first people to do some of this stuff. But, like,
yeah.
Here's the thing. You're telling me stories about easy money. And that is the stories that we've always looked for. And have kind of, like, even pioneered online in the Bitcoin space. Like, there has been easy money stories, but not in the sense that people got away with it through bearer assets.
Yeah. Like, generally what happens is people do easy money. They put their money in the bank. The way that you'd get away with easy money in the olden days is you'd take a giant plastic barrel and you would dig a 10-foot hole, right. And then you'd hope to God that you remembered where it was when you came back 30 years later, and you're like, where the fuck did I put that barrel? that's what Bitcoin is now, though. Like you put your Bitcoin in your brain or in your prison wallet, and you hold it there for 30 years. Then you get out of prison, you can come back, and you're rich.
Well, the nature of these scams are also more utilitarian than the early Bitcoin scams. The early Bitcoin scams were generally just de facto Ponzi's.
Oh, yeah. It was just, like, there was no reason to do them other than to get rich. Well, that's what happens when you give, like, scamming to libertarians. Well, these are also, like, there's, like, a basic economy here. Like, there's an entertainment or some, like, rubric for which, like, people are either misrepresenting what the actual odds were on things. That's what this seems like the common scenario is. But, yeah, so tell us about the gambling atmosphere. Where are people gambling the most right now? Is it League of Legends? Was it CSGO?
I believe CSGO was the most popular gambling site because you can gamble with your skins, and you could bet on games on popular sites like CSGO Lounge or something like that. But there are a ton of CSGO betting sites. I can't even name all of them, but there are a lot, over 20.
Do you think they're betting mostly on chance, just random chance? Do you think they're betting mostly on actual game outcomes?
I think most of them were betting on pots, basically, where a bunch of people put skins in. You get a certain percentage based on how much money you put in, and it's kind of like a coin flip or something like that.
So the money being the like value of the skin.
The value of the skins, yeah.
That's so weird to me. Why didn't they just use Bitcoin?
Probably a lot of these people don't know too much about Bitcoin, and especially because it's all these items are linked to the Steam market, they just use probably the value of the skins on the Steam market.
So they didn't use like Visa or American Express, right? Because they couldn't?
Well, you can use that to put money on your Steam account or buy the skins on
right.
Steam.
Yeah.
But
I know
not
it's
on
gonna
these
happen
sites.
In the next few months here. I could predict. Bitcoin. I mean, it sounds to me like this market is ready for Bitcoin. Like, it's very obvious.
I know that. That's what I've been told by many people to start poking my nose here, because this is exactly what we thought we'd find.
Yeah.
A bunch of kids discovering, like, scarcity.
Right. Like, they went. Think of the obtuseness, though. Like, the reason they use skins is because they couldn't use American Express or Visa. And the reason they couldn't is because, like, those, like, American Express and Visa don't service that. It sounds exactly like Backpages. The problem here is that they had a central authority issuing skins, and now that central authority just pulled its support of like using skins for this reason.
Yeah, it's also a low friction story. I think a lot of people who didn't realize that they liked gambling maybe, and so that's kind of a weird thing to have to explain that you introduced that to these kids.
Right. It's also funny though, because it's just value. So like in these arenas, if you had 5,000 $2 skins. Would that be accepted as $10,000 in exactly the same way that one $10,000 skin would be accepted?
If you sold all of them individually and you could sell both for the same amount, yes. I believe a lot of these skin sites were prioritizing streamers who would bet high-value skins, a lot of money at once. And
right, because those are whales.
Yeah.
But I bet they would do the same thing if you came in and like had 400,000 $2 skins.
I mean, I've from a lot of these Skype blogs, I've heard a lot of talk about the people who own these sites saying, oh, we don't want to sponsor this person because they only bet with $50 skins, not 200, 300, 400, you know, up to a couple $1,000 skins.
So what are the other big games right now then besides CSGO?
So there's League of Legends, which is the biggest game in the world right now. There's Counter-Strike Global Offensive. Some of the fighting games are getting pretty big, like Street Fighter and Super Smash Bros., Melee and Smash 4. There's Dota 2.
Which of those have a gambling culture? Any of them? All of them?
I think that anything on Steam probably had a bit of a gambling culture. I know there's popular games that aren't necessarily competitive esports that definitely had items that were gambled on. And Dota 2 is also on my Steam, so there were definitely some Dota 2 like items or skins or whatever that were gambled on. But you know, stuff like League of Legends, you can't really gamble because all the skins are locked onto one account.
Well, you kind of can now. I think the Nigerian Sports is going to be opening up all of these games for gambling, is what I think. I'm not positive about that.
You
I got to ask them.
You can gamble League of Legends, like fantasy players, where you pick players on, there's a site called Alpha Draft, and then like you could on DraftKings, stuff like that. But yeah.
Do you know what strikes me is that you and I put our heads in our assholes for the last like 7 years. And did Bitcoin. And the world kept fucking going on. And this happened. And we know nothing about it because it's all like kids.
This is brand new. I think that a lot of this stuff, you could hear it wrong. Like, you've been in the thick of this. A lot of this stuff really, I think, started with the CSGO thing, is what I think. I think the competitive gaming's been around, but I don't think that the gambling has been as big. Am I right about that?
Yeah, gambling definitely took off with CSGO in the past, like, 2 years.
Right. It strikes me like this is really complicated. Like, it's going to be harder and harder to do things like make money. The other thing that's amazing to me is that, like, you think of something like baseball. It took baseball 100 years, 50 years, 80 years, probably 100 years to, like, give their employees really good salaries. But like with all things in the digital age, like how much is a professional player going to make?
So the Koreans are typically the best League of Legends players, and the Chinese League of Legends scene is very unique.
Fucking
because
Asians.
It is propped up by like the sons of billionaires who just have money to blow.
See, that's what I've been waiting for. I'm telling you, there are some rich kids that are pioneering this. It seems very obvious to me. I had heard unwieldy five-figure digit numbers for these CSGO skins. You told me it's actually less. It's like, what, $4,000 for the highest price skin?
Yeah, like $4,000 or $5,000 for like maybe the highest, the best knife.
But there ain't no 16-year-old I ever grew up with could afford that much money for a fucking skin on their game.
Correct.
People will do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm guessing that there's some wealthy kids that are doing this.
They have to be, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And also gamblers. I bet some of the kids that do this are like those poker players, too.
Yeah.
So here's the thing that I see, too. Like, this whole industry started to go left or right. Either gambling's going to stop, which I think is unlikely, frankly. Although, Casper, we'll have you weigh in on that in a second.
Yep.
Or it's going to continue. And if it's going to continue, what I know is that if Valve didn't stop the CSGO community, PayPal would have.
Well, my question is, what's the difference between Valve saying they're not going to do it and Visa saying they're not going to support this? What's the difference?
Well, I think the difference is that there's none. Yeah. The difference is that I think that PayPal is slightly more accommodating because maybe they can get away with sticking their head in the sand.
And well, PayPal, I don't even give a fuck about. They're gonna discontinue it at the instant that it's asked them to, you know, for them to discontinue. But like, here's the thing. Like, they're looking for a source of value to trade.
Right. Well, what also strikes me is this is just like Bitcoin was in the earlier years. We could send Charlie Shrem through PayPal money. That's what the difference is in terms of relating to Visa. Is it seems like PayPal has always found like a little bit of a margin there in the regulatory space where they can claim ignorance slightly longer than Visa.
Right, for whatever reason. Yeah. But it just strikes me. This is exactly the same thing that happened to like Backpage. The difference is that instead of like 19 or girls calling Paxos up and saying, I need help to like figure out how to use this Bitcoin thing, it's going to be 19, 17, and 16-year-old gamblers.
So what do you think the future of gambling is? Do you think it's going to go left and people will stop gambling, or do you think that people are going to find new ways to do this?
I think that if you're talking about gambling on actual games, on sites like AlphaDraft or DraftKings or whatever, that will probably continue. Valve released a cease and desist letter to all of these major CSGO gambling sites. So I think that's going to have to stop, at least for now, until it can be, you know, regulated.
I have a feeling that it's not going to get regulated. I bet you within 3 weeks, every one of these sites is using Bitcoin. I'd put money on that.
I agree. And here's the thing, too. Like, you don't need an API to declare outcomes. These are oracles, right? So, like, what's going to end up happening is they're going to normalize all the risk by being a bank of one kind or another. It's going to be a guy like Nitrogen Sports or a guy like, I guess, Alpha Kings. I got to look this up. Or one of these guys, they're just going to sit there and watch like everybody else.
And what's funny to me is you guys already went through the scam phase, so they already have a lot of trust. So we already know that you're willing to let them hold $15,000 worth of your value. So why wouldn't you let them do that with your Bitcoin?
Also, I think the next iteration of Bitcoin is you don't hold it. It's all be end lock time. I think there'll be zero risk to these people. None. I think what will happen is it'll all be end lock time, and the Oracle service will go ahead and sign these binary bets or something like that, maybe.
I think you're right, but that's probably not going to happen today. But they're going to use the Reggie Middleton model.
Yeah, absolutely. So forgive us while we nerd out on you. I know these are advanced Bitcoining concepts that you have yet to learn. You will, but give it time.
You probably actually won't learn them. they're probably just going to work for you, frankly.
Yeah.
That might be. I'd like nothing more. So you told me that there's some people that are like throwing games already. Tell us about that.
So I think it was 2014. There was a team owned by iBuyPower, and basically they put
that's such a Bitcoin name, I gotta say.
I think it's a they build custom computers, and you can
order
them.
They build ASICs,
memory dealers.
what kind of like custom computers?
Yeah, they sell custom computers.
Like Alienware? Or like,
yeah, something okay. Like that. Like, instead of, like, a lot of people will build their own computers. They'll essentially take the components and do it for you. Gaming computers, really.
iBuyPower.
Yeah, so right. Basically the iBuyPower team, there was a...
It's such a Bitcoin name. It's so perfect.
There was a plan, and they fixed the match where I guess they were playing some scrub team, so obviously a lot of people will be betting for iBuyPower to win. The team set up a fix, and they bet thousands and thousands of dollars on the other team and threw the match. then I believe how it happened was the dude who set up the fix, his girlfriend got pissed off at him for whatever reasons, I believe what happened, and you know, ratted everyone out, and then every player got permanently banned.
Who did she tell?
It had to have been somebody, either a journalist or Valve themselves.
Just a PSA, bros before hoes. Continue.
Mm-hmm. So all the players but one got banned for, I think originally it was a year, but then it was a permanent ban. And the only reason the one player didn't get banned is not because he didn't participate in the fix, but I believe he did not take any of the money. I think there was an issue with paying out everyone then and there, and he, when they had the money for him, he just said, hey, you know, I don't want to take the money anymore.
That is right in line with what we think has to do, you know, like how law works. So that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, my metric for law at this point is how much did you make? I'm getting pretty good at being an armchair attorney, and what the first question I ask is how much money did you make? And if the answer is zero, I can probably get you off.
I'll represent myself.
You know, I think the early baseball history and, like, even early college sports history, there was a lot of people throwing games because there wasn't much money in it. So, I mean, is this something that you think is pretty rampant, or do you think people figure it out when, like, high odds games are lost in weird ways?
I think that after this happened, the match fixing was kind of cut down. A lot of people got scared of it. But in other games, I know, like, in early Korean StarCraft, there was some match fixing going on. But, like, as far as League of Legends, stuff like that, I don't think it happens much at all.
How could you even fix that match? Like, isn't that obvious to everybody that that's a lie?
I believe it was a pretty obvious fix, but nobody really... I mean, I guess you could call them out on it, but they didn't have any proof until the girl leaked that.
It's just so obvious. Like, it's exactly how, like, things are obvious. In Bitcoin, you see it like, that's a Ponzi scheme. How do you know? You just fucking know. Like, that's exactly what it sounds like here. It sounds like if you knew anything about this team and the other team they were playing, you would have known it was thrown.
Yeah.
They're all kids. But the other thing I'm wondering is, like, who's setting the odds on these things, too? Because that that's probably a very shallow market, would be my guess, currently. It's probably a bunch of kids doing that.
So I believe that the odds on a site called CSGO Lounge are based on actually what percentage is bet on each team. So... I think they just physically take the amount of money bet on one team and the other team and just percentage it out.
So they're professional bettors online then? If that's what they're doing, my guess is there's guys that are getting pretty good at betting. And do they have their own, like, blogs, podcasts, etc.?
I haven't followed it. I know one of my friends was kind of doing this, where he had obtained some money from betting and was doing this, but eventually, you know, he lost almost all of it. So, you know, I think it just depends on, you know,
Bitcoin.
it's gambling, like, at its base.
You know, anyone who's listening to this right now, and Theo, I'm looking at you. If you know somebody who's a professional gambler in the esports space, I hate to use the word professional, let us know. We'd like to know a little bit more about how that's working. I bet you some good information there. And my suspicion is that there's some room for somebody to really specialize and make money there. But you know what? If I think that, then it's probably already happening.
100%.
Markets are efficient.
Right.
So where is the money coming from in these things right now? Is it all just sponsorships at these big events?
So I believe a lot of the teams get sponsorships and the events get sponsored by, you know, like computer hardware companies, stuff like this. I know in Korea there's teams owned by companies like Samsung, or I know like SK Telecom, which is South Korean Telecom, or KT, which is Korean Telecom. Over here, it's more just teams as, like, organizations, and they get sponsored by, you know, endemic and non-endemic sponsors, things like Red Bull, and then just tournament organizers. There's probably some crowdfunding for these tournaments, and there's probably a bit of sponsorship as well.
So, no, like, in the United States, like, corporate ownership of these teams isn't a thing. I'm surprised that, like, some of these teams aren't VC-funded.
Well, I know Nitrogen is sponsoring one of these teams.
Yeah, VC-funding.
Are teams VC funding?
Definitely.
Really?
There are definitely teams that are VC funded for sure.
How does that work? The VCs get a portion of the pool, I guess, at the end?
Right now they're kind of just throwing money at it, looking for a return investment in 5 to 10 years.
But you're not into this team sports as much as you're into the individual athletes. Is that...
I'm into both. I follow it pretty closely, just as somebody would follow, like, sports and get really into it. So, I don't know. I've just, you know, looked at a lot of stuff. You know, about teams and things like that.
I asked you this earlier. Do you have heroes in this space?
heroes? Like
people like that you know, piss your pants a little bit about seeing.
I mean, yeah.
Like you're walking on the street and you see them, you're like, woo.
Absolutely. People go crazy over pro players, especially in countries like China and Korea.
Right. Tell us a little bit about that culture. I mean, these guys are just, like, slaying chicks left and right, like, tons of, like a 16-year-old, and he's just, like, banging all the other, like, 17, 18, 19-year-old girls, or what's up with that?
I know in Korea, you probably aren't allowed to do that just because everything's very, like, I guess mentor-oriented, and they're very strict, and they have to practice 14 hours a day, so it would take too much time away.
Bishakai!
I mean, people definitely have girlfriends, but definitely in China, people are getting, you know, mad bitches, you know?
Mad bitches. That's amazing. What's it like in South Korea? Like, what do you think that the average age is there of pro gaming spectators? Is it all kids there? Do you think it's a little bit older crowd?
So I know that I believe it's maybe number four. I could be off, but the number four television channel in Korea is the gaming channel, the On Game Net, and they stream anything all day from, you know, competitive
amazing.
Matches to, you know, phone apps, stuff like that. But yeah, there's definitely
phone apps.
Yeah.
Flappy Birds.
There's actually there's a game called Vainglory that's played competitively, and people play it on like iPads and stuff like that.
Dude, now, Twitch is going to be like the next Bodog or something at the rate it's going. I wouldn't like. It sounds to me like there might be need or space for it on cable channels. I agree. I've been to a bar a couple times now where I've seen like ESPN has stuff during the day,
yep.
And I don't know that people are like really into it here, but I'm watching it and I'm very impressed. Well, I mean, like it sounds a bit like cable channels could be weirdly like. Curating like Twitch shows, which is weird because usually they were the ones that were publishing. They were finding things and then producing the shows and then publishing them. Like, it sounds like they might just go through Twitch and be like, well, this one's good, we'll just show this one. You know, for me, I see so much more of our lives going online, so much of like what we think is online, so much of our values are online, and this is just an extension of that, I think. Do you think the kids today, what percentage of the kids do you think are into e-gaming that are into traditional sports?
So from my experience, like in high school, I think that there's a lot of kids who play sports that are into playing video games, that are, you know, like high-level athletes in high school or whatever.
I see that a lot too, by the way. A couple years ago, I met a couple, I think, Counter-Strike professional players on an airplane, and they were definitely like the soccer players at their school. Are these same people playing like Madden, or is that like not even the same crowd at all?
So I know that a lot of people who play sports games, but some of them also play, you know, like massively popular games like Call of Duty. Some of them play PC games, and I think there's a lot of people who are just because of like the negative stigma around it. Some people that are into games are quiet about it. Maybe not even like sports people, but just like people who play games don't really want to talk about it in this country.
Let me ask you about drug use. What's the deal with drug use there? Because like for me, Adderall would seem to be like the killer competition, right?
Yeah. So
what do they do about that? Is everyone just on Adderall or like stuff like that? Or
people get drug tested. I think that the drug issue is a little bit overblown. I think that it really only is active really.
Before you go on, I want to say like I didn't know there was a drug issue. Did you? It makes perfect sense to me. I get that, but my point is that it sounds like you've been approached with this question a lot.
That's true.
It sounds to me like there's a sensitivity that he has to the issue
yeah.
that we didn't even know like he would have.
Very good point.
I mean, I've watched a lot of videos on this. Some people I follow,
We just assumed there were drugs because everybody does drugs.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Chris. He's addicted to heroin.
Yeah, so I don't think in League of Legends because everybody has to submit to a drug test. I think that's how it is with the big CSGO tournaments as well.
Don't they just use a Wizinator?
I mean, I honestly don't know, but I think that in CS would be where it's most popular, and I think that it's overblown in that. I think that not too many people do it. People have done it, I think, but I think, honestly, these games require a lot of communication and intense focus. So when you take Adderall, some of the side effects is that it's not being able to communicate really well with other people, although it may improve your focus.
Yeah. I mean, I would imagine it would depend on the game.
Yeah.
I could probably play Tetris a lot better on Adderall. Probably not so much like Mario Paint.
Right. I would, for those looking to like improve their game, honestly, I would just suggest, you know, cocaine straight up if you can find it.
One thing that's funny actually is that in I know in Super Smash Bros. Melee, there's a lot of big drinkers in the scene. So maybe not now that things have gotten more professionalized, but definitely in the past they used to just be, you know, have a couple beers before they play, which now would be, you know, looked down upon now that's serious. But you know, they're definitely
video game professionals.
A lot of those guys are definitely, you know, big drinkers in Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Well, what's also interesting is that some of these retro games have actually survived so long. Like, how old is Melee?
Melee is like 14 or 15 years old at this point.
14 or 15 years old at this point, and it's just now becoming, I think, appreciated more
as
a competitive
growing,
sport.
Yeah,
I just like that, like, there's segments of players. Apparently, the Melee players are the drinkers.
Yeah.
Well, you know, do you know who Billy Mitchell is?
No, I don't know Billy Mitchell.
That's funny that you don't know who Billy Mitchell is, because you should know about Billy Mitchell. He was the first pro gamer to be issued a baseball card or a sports card, and I have that card. And he signed it because he lives in South Florida. Mm-hmm. They made a movie about him called Pac-Man King of Quarters, which...
He had the highest score in Pac-Man for a while, right?
I think even today he's the first person to get a perfect score in Pac-Man.
I think until they found out about, like, the split screen.
I think he's the guy who did it. I'm pretty sure.
Oh.
I'm actually reading a book right now about like the growth of esports that came out in 2012. So it's not it doesn't have a lot of the current stuff, but I think they actually mentioned that movie and that guy. Now I'm thinking about it.
So, like, you know, here's the thing. Like, it seems like esports has taken off in the last, like, 4 years. Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, I think probably 2012 or 2011, 2012 is when it started really getting big, and
it started in South Korea too, right?
Like, well, 15 years ago in South Korea, I would say, is when it started, and it's been big and like a mainstream thing in South Korea for a long time. Just how the culture is, like 90% of the people I think in the country have access to internet. All the teens, you know, play video games, stuff like that.
Why do you think that this started the last 4 years as opposed to 10 years or 15 years ago?
I think that it's just how the games have advanced, like, so they're more appealing to people now. I think in South Korea, you have a really unique situation where the government actually has... There's a government organization called KESPA, Korean Esports Organization, who, you know, monitors everything.
We've had
there.
Twin Galaxies since the 80s, which is an American version of something like that.
It sounds to me like KESPA, which is apparently government.
Yeah, it's government.
It sounds like this is their version of baseball.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
What do you think is going to make for the future? Like, what do you think the big games are going to be, and how do you think that's going to proceed? Because unlike traditional sports, it seems to me that this is such a new category that I don't know if League of Legends will be played 20 years from now. I know that baseball will be.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think that we're going to have new games and it's just going to be like cycling constantly, or do you think that like they're going to iterate along the same themes? How do you think the future is going to go?
So this is something I've actually thought about a lot. I know that Blizzard just released Overwatch, which I think is going to be a really big game. I think that...
And you know that because you've been watching like the Korean markets.
Korean and here. It's a big game everywhere, really. This is one of the first really big games on release that's come out in a while. But... League of Legends, I think, I've given a lot of thought to this. What happens in League of Legends is they patch it, or it's changed, it's updated every couple weeks, right? So I think if Riot can figure out a way, which they have so far, to continue dominating the market in MOBAs, which is multiplayer online battle arena, that I think that if they continue to do that, then it'll still be played. If not, I think Riot's a big enough company that it will kind of have like a very slow drop off, but it really depends if they can keep it fresh. Now, I know Counter-Strike there was, you know, 1.6 and then Source, so I don't know, maybe this gambling thing will kind of, you know, ruin the game, or maybe, you know, some other scam. I mean, I think it'll still be played. I don't think it'll do too much, but who knows? Maybe Counter-Strike Global Offensive will one day phase out. I know StarCraft phased out, and it was like the most popular game in Korea. So, you know, you never know. It really depends.
That was before Bitcoin, though.
Yeah.
I'm not into sports ball much, but I have noticed that one of the main tenets of, I don't know, the enthusiasm for sports has been gambling. In some, the people that love sports the most also seem to gamble the most. That seems to be a tenet for me. And I don't think that it's any stretch to say that the success of sports has a lot to do with their ability to be gambled on. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's obvious. I mean, that's why everyone loves college sports.
So, Casper, where can people find out more about you?
Me, at Sly Casper on Twitter, you could go to. But there's not too much on that right now. Should be more to come as our high school League of Legends season gets going a little bit more.
Well, you're only 19, so there's also that. You gotta get out there a little bit more.
Yeah.
Build your profile.
Yep.
Bang more bitches.
Yeah.
South Korean bitches. They're hot.
I love them. They're the hottest of the Asians.
I agree, honestly.
And with that, I think that's the interview. Thanks, Casper.
Yep, no problem.
Has dope sickness got you down? Has the neighborhood pusher man been locked up yet again? Or are you just looking to put a little more commitment into your personal drug habit? Well, look no further. Alpha Bay has you covered. Whether you're looking for crack, smack, weed, or prescription meds, we've got round-the-clock merchants looking to assist you to get your fix. Our merchants are the best in the biz, and alongside our helpful customer service, we offer multi-sig escrow, two-factor authentication, auction listings, and coming soon, drop men. So whether you're just the casual kid looking to experiment or the seasoned pro looking to create your flack empire, we've got all the goods you'll need to get to the finish line, or at least we can help you die trying. Create your account today on America's fastest growing blockchain company at PWOAH7FOA6AU2PUL.onion. Once again, that's Alpha Bay at PWOAH7FOA6AU2PUL.onion. And be sure to use referral code BU2016 for a special sign up promotion offer. Oh, and remember, only Bitcoin accepted here.
What a cool fucking kid.
That's kind of incredible. Honestly, frankly, that I'm dumbfounded when I hear that shit. I'm just kind of like speechless.
What, at like 17 or so, I'm guessing, he convinced his parents to go to South Korea.
Because he wanted to bang bitches.
Because he wanted to play video games and bang bitches. Who does that?
He does.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
That's incredible. It's just like the amount of value that's being passed around these. I mean, I want to call them children, but they're not.
You know, I may be extrapolating too much, but I just see so much of our younger years in these guys.
I want to know when the libertarians come to Counter-Strike. Because that's when everything gets shitty.
Oh, man. I feel like I can tell very certainly what the future is there, and I don't think that's a hard stretch.
We've lived that. We already did that.
Right.
It happened.
Right.
We can tell them the steps.
They're not going to use Ethereum.
No.
They're not going to use Dash.
No.
They're going to use whatever they
they're
can
gonna
use.
They're going to commit whatever crime they're doing, and they're going to use Bitcoin to do it.
Yes, exactly. Well, the other thing that's interesting too is that I think that this network effect is not even a small joke.
No.
Like you and I were talking in the car earlier today, and like a number of these people, I don't know if there's like an honor among criminals.
Well, they got it. See, here's the thing. Like, if you are a person who goes into jail with like $10 million, or I don't know, you're Ben Best and you have like your head frozen, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to die. You want, when you come out of jail or when you come back to life, out of being frozen cryogenically, to be able to use your value.
Well,
which depends on the other criminals agreeing that you're going to use the value that, you know, you went in with. So, like, I think you're right. I don't think that like anyone's going to start using, you know, Ethereum when you go to jail.
Yeah,
you're going to come out, they're going to use Bitcoin and the dollar.
Well, Casper has like a weird ambivalence to Bitcoin that is so encouraging.
I like God, the neutrality of it.
Exactly.
The fucking morality is just stupid.
I agree. It's a tool like any other tool, and it does this job the way that they need it to sometimes or not. And it seems like
it probably does its job.
It seems like they're almost about at their post-PayPal period, which is right when Bitcoin started today. It kind of weird, too, by the way.
Yeah. Well, again, it's just back pages.
I know.
Fucking back pages.
Oh, yeah.
There's no difference between what they've just gone through and back pages.
Yeah.
And Albany doesn't even know what back pages is. That's my guess.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that out there.
I wish you were here. We could ask him.
Yeah, well, he is.
Do you know what back pages?
He has no idea. We don't usually do our end caps in front of our guests, but when we do, we talk about them as if they're not here, and we ask some questions.
Yeah.
So he does not know what Backpages is.
Yeah.
But this is completely analogous.
I agree.
So I know what's going to happen.
Well, here's the thing that's really interesting, too. We talk about all these businesses that the VCs have invested in, and I feel like everywhere we look, there's people making money on blockchain,
right?
And none of them are VCs.
Right.
How many companies did he just name making money, hands over
face? None
of
them are
fist.
None of them raised. None of them raised.
None of them raised.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
And it's all like internal governance. And now they're
with
just going to look for value
from
all. Yeah.
Twitch,
right.
Twitch would be the exception. But Twitch is like
staying
out. Twitch
did not make money from Bitcoin.
I know.
Yeah.
I think they have tipping on Twitch. And that was
I think
the thing
they do,
that
but that's
said.
Because. But that was before they sold.
Yeah. Amazing.
I think it's just because a lot of these gamers want Bitcoin.
I think that the CSGO. I think the CSGO innovation was the low friction by which you could do casino games, or something that analogous to just pure chance. And
right.
I think that that's part of it. I think that the actual...
Well, there was also an in-game scarce item that was able to be exported. So, like, the value exportation... You know as well as I do that value exportation is the hardest thing you can possibly do.
Oh, yeah. Interbank
hardest
settlement.
Job. And Steam, Valve, accidentally made that very possible.
Or not so accidentally.
Shut up.
Yeah. Well, the other thing I wondered, too, is, like, I think, and I could be completely wrong, one of the
that's
affinity...
Why they, maybe that's why they love Gabe.
Maybe.
Because we've always wondered that. Why do people love Gabe?
Yeah, why do people love Gabe?
I think he just looks funny.
I think it's because he looks funny and he's, you know, smarter than you give him credit for. He knows how to export value.
Maybe. Well, so here's the thing that I wonder too.
But he does look funny.
People like sports because they're from their teams, from their hometown. Maybe, because I never understood
know.
That either.
I don't have that gene. I just don't have that fucking gene. I don't understand it.
What percentage of the Miami Dolphins were from Miami?
I have zero. I don't know who they are.
Right.
Is that a basketball team?
Yes, it's the Florida basketball team.
All right, well.
I'm guessing that is. So one more question. How much do you think it matters where people are from when you root for a person or a team?
I think that the Koreans just have a far superior system to the West, but I will say that the West is catching up rapidly.
Heil Korea.
And one team, TSM, everybody roots for TSM. It's a Western team.
Yeah. So you do think, like, so if I'm from the village of, like, I don't know, like Seoul.
The village of Seoul.
Yeah, the village of Seoul.
That's the only city he knows.
Yeah.
He was searching for it.
Yeah.
Is this an end cap or an interview?
This is an end cap. We're almost done. So, yeah, if I'm from the village of Seoul, would you say that I would probably have a greater, like, affinity for players from Seoul, or do you think it doesn't quite work that way?
I think all Koreans just root for Korean teams and
hate all
the other teams.
Dude, they're so racist. Koreans are the most racist people on the face of the earth. No one believes it. Every Korean is going to listen and be really, really angry at that. And here's what I'm going to say to you. If you're Korean and you're listening and you're offended, I'm going to ask you one question. What do you think about dating non-Koreans? And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, like, well, that's stupid. Of course you only date within your race. And then someone's going to look at you and go, that's racist. And then you're going to say something like this. You're going to say, and this is very reasonable, I think. You're going to say, we have been a pure race for thousands of years. Why would we want to, have, you mongrel scum come and fuck that up? And I think that's fine. But, like, here in the West, we call that racism.
Well, if you liked what you heard, you can reach me online on Twitter at DeRoseTech.
Talk to Chris. Don't talk to me.
Or on Telegram as Brighton36. If you're on Telegram, ask me to get into the channels. We'll put you in the Coin Dojo where you can talk about racism.
Sit your ass right there. That's the main subject.
All day. That's all we talk about. All day, every day. Love to have you there. Party people, peace out. It was great.
And this is John Seth Chunkin' up the Deuce of the South. The mass has ended. Go in peace. St. Catherine, pray for us.